Because the Lord's given you a good day. The Lord's been good to us, hasn't he? Much, much better than what we deserve, I'm sure. And I certainly want to thank him for the privilege of preaching tonight. Pastor giving me that opportunity. I don't take it lightly. And I mean that. I thank him so much for allowing me to be here tonight and stand in his place, his pulpit, and preach the Word of God. I want to read two little verses of Scripture to you tonight and bring a thought. I believe the Lord's laid it on my heart. Please don't get the idea that I'm trying to, tonight when I start preaching, don't think I'm trying to mimic something the preacher preached last week, because I was already engaged in this on Tuesday and Thursday on my radio broadcast. And I thought, well, I'm not going to change my line of thought. I'm going to plow right on with it and hope the Lord will take it and use it for his honor and glory. John 3:16. John 3:16 and Genesis 1:1. John 3:16 and Genesis 1:1. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And now Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful tonight for the glorious privilege. It's mine once again to be able to stand before this people and preach to them. What a joy it is. I count it an honor. Thank you for the preacher allowing me to take this place tonight. And I'd pray, Father, you'd fill me with the Spirit of God, with power, that you'd unctionize me and help me, give me some liberty that I need to be a blessing to your people. Use me in a special way. Give divine grace to those that are here tonight. Help us move forward in our faith in the Son of God and our life in the Lord Jesus. Do that which needs to be done for each one of us. And we'll thank and praise you for every sinner you save and all that is accomplished. For we ask it in Jesus' name. For his sake we pray. Amen. Thank you now. And you may be seated. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I want to preach for just a little while tonight on the thought, if God will help me, and I hope he will. But I want to preach for a little while on the thought tonight of God's, the power of God's love. The power of God's love. Now, when we think of God's power, we first, most of the time, think about God's power in creation. And I don't know if you've ever given a lot of consideration to the power that was manifest to this world when God first created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. This is power far beyond that of mortal man. God created this, the heaven and the earth, simply by his word. Amen. God spoke and it was done. Have you ever considered just how powerful that is? That all God has to do is speak the word and it's done. There is not a power in heaven, nor on the earth, nor beneath the earth that can prevent God from doing and accomplishing what he says he's going to do. That's why I rejoice in my salvation. He said that it's eternal salvation. And I believe it. In fact, I know that it is. And all the imps of hell cannot prevent you and I from entering into that glorious city someday. You know, I sat over to the house the other night. I'm going to tell on myself. But I sat in my chair and wept, probably for somewhere between 4 to 5 hours. Now, I'm not bragging. I don't know. I had this feeling that I wanted to listen to some old music. So I started listening to some of those old songs by the Kingsmen and by the Cathedral Quartet, that Step Into the Water by the Cathedral Quartet. And I'm going to tell you, they begin to get a hold of my heart. We shall see Jesus. That was the title of one of those old songs. We shall see Jesus. Amen. Oh, man, what glory. My heart got so full that it flooded out, run over, and come out of my eye sockets. Amen. And I want to thank the Lord for it. And God's power is power that is far beyond that power of mortal man. It's an impossibility for the creature to have power beyond that of the Creator. He was in the beginning. You and I were created. We're creatures. He is the Creator. God wasn't created. Somebody said, where did God come from? He didn't come from anywhere, because there wasn't nowhere for Him to come from when He got here. He's always been here. Therefore, God didn't have to come from anywhere. God always has been and always shall be God. Amen. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He came unto His own received Him not. But, I like Him three-letter words. But to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. What about that? And so that is great power. The Creator is God Almighty. Almighty. And in Him is all power. But God's power in creation goes well beyond the heavens and the earth that we see here. In the future verses that we see, God filled the heaven and the earth with marvelous and glorious things that delighted Him. For all things were created for Him and by Him, and were created for His own good pleasure. Amen. And not ours. Amen. Somebody said, why did God ever create me? He created you for His good pleasure. That in your life He might be pleased. Well, that's where we get the word pleasure, is from the word please. That God might be pleased in you. And I'll tell you, He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. And He is very much pleased with that. And somebody say amen right there. Now, there were all manner of beasts on the earth. There were fowls in the air. There were fish and other creatures in the waters. He created the sun, the moon, and then sprinkled the stars throughout the universe and commanded the earth to stay on an axis of orbit, and it has, and it will. You know, I laugh at these news fellas when they begin to tell us about all these meteorites that's going to shower down on us someday, and it's going to destroy the world. Well, it might be. I've never seen that in the Bible. I've never seen it in the Bible. But I'm going to tell you one thing. In the end, this earth is going to be right where God wants it to be. She's going to keep on setting in her socket until God's done with it. He upholds this world by His power. Really upholds the world by the word of His power. He just created it, put it there, and said, stay, and it stayed. Amen. Isn't it amazing that something that God created out of nothing, just a mass of rock, has got more obedience to God than mankind, which is His crowning creation, has? That amazes me. That's right. Amen. Now, I think of other places where God's power is manifest. I think of the great flood Can you imagine it have never rained? And then all of a sudden, there comes rain out of the sky, something you've never seen before. Somebody said, well, that's not that powerful. But it also goes on to say, and the fountains of the deep were opened up. The earth just simply erupted, and gushes of water began to come upon the face of the earth. And for 40 days and 40 nights it rained until every living creature that was on this earth died except those that were in the ark with Noah. Are you glad you're in the ark tonight? Somebody will say amen right there. I'm glad Jesus passed by one day where I was and called out my name, and I got on board of the old ship of Zion. I've been sailing with him ever since and plan on to keep on sailing with him until he calls me home. Amen and amen. That's right. They laughed at old Noah. But the Noah quit. The laughing ceased when the rain started. I think of the foolishness of Pharaoh after seeing all of God's power that he displayed in Egypt through the frogs and the lice and the flies and the death and the darkness and then the death of the firstborn. And to think that he was so foolish that he tried to follow Israel into the Red Sea. How foolish can a man be? If he didn't realize by then that God was going to deliver Israel, he had bigger problems. I'm afraid the man was no doubt a reprobate. Without a doubt. But what power? Moses stood there by the Red Sea, and God said, what are you crying unto me for? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Now he said, Lord, wait a minute, backward might be better than forward. We might be able to defeat Pharaoh, but we ain't going to take that sea. And God parted the waters of the sea. Amen. And they walked across, of all things, on dry land. Amen. What power. I think of the crossing of the Jordan. What power. I mean, I could go on and on of the power of God. Amen. I mean, feeding Elijah at the brook, the miracles that he did, the feeding of the 5,000, the blind man, or the cripple rather, at the pool of Bethesda, blind Bartimaeus along the roadside, miracles, and not one miracle did God ever do for his own benefit. Every miracle that God did and manifest his power, he did it for you and for me. I marvel at that. God's power, how wonderful it is that he created everything that is here today by the word of his mouth. And it's still here, shall remain. Amen. His power is seen in his incarnation, his death and resurrection. And of course, many, many other miracles that God did. Let us not forget his crowning creation. Here's where I want to get into the message. When he created man, his great and mighty power began to manifest itself in ways that would benefit and bless his crowning creation. Now, the earth being created, the moon, the stars, the sun, and all this, there are things out there. But when he created man, set man in the earth, and then began to work in the heart and the life of man, he did that because man was his crowning creation. Oh, created in the likeness and the image of Almighty God. Amen and amen. And his power that was manifest was done so for you and I. Have you ever considered the fact that every miracle God did on earth, as I said, was done not for himself, but for us? I want to look for just a few minutes tonight, if God will let me, at God's power that springs from within Himself. Springs from within Himself. And then is manifest in you and me as His creatures. I think of the power of God's love. And we may not at first, be able to really focus in on that power and get a hold of really what I'm talking about God, the power of God's love. But the power of God's love is seen in our salvation. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Notice the words, so loved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This love is a love that is beyond compare. It is unique. There's no other love like it. For God so loved. He didn't just love. God so loved. Hang right with me. God so loved. It also reveals a driving force or brings about action. This action is that God gave His Son. Now stay right with me. God so loved, beyond compare. What other love is there that is powerful enough that it would bring His Son into the world and give His life for you and I that we might be saved by the marvelous grace of Almighty God? Amen. God gave His Son, and He gave His Son out of love for you and me. I marvel at that. I marvel at that. You realize love, the power that's in love. God loved us and died for us. I marvel at that. Now, it reveals a driving force that brings about an action. That action is that God gave His Son. Notice with me. In Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Commendeth. That word commendeth means to introduce formally, favorably, to start near something. If Calvary is only an introduction of God's love, and that's an overstatement, I can't even imagine what eternity holds if Calvary is an introduction of God's love. If He allowed His Son to suffer and bleed and die on the cross. Somebody said, how do you see power in that love? I see it because out of that love springs life. The love of God, out of that love of God springs life for you and I. God loved His Son. His Son gave His life. And you and I go free tonight because of it. I marvel at that. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. God commended His love toward us. He introduced that love favorably. It means to stand near. It means to stand near to us. Galatians 2:20. The Bible said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live by the faith of the Son of God, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Notice the vastness of God's love. He loved the world in John chapter 3 and verse 16. But now in the book of Galatians, He loves you and He loves me. God's love is vast. It reaches out to the world, and yet God's love is brought down to every individual. He loved me. It's not the world anymore, but it's me and it's you that this love is brought down to. God's love is spread out to everyone. And yet it is not diminished. Have we ever really thought on that? That God's love is so spread out to all, and yet it's not diminished one bit. God just loves and keeps on loving. God's love is like a never-ending fountain that keeps on bringing forth. It's a fountain that will never run dry. Somebody said, when will God stop loving me? Never. He loved, by the way, don't get mad at me now, He loved me in eternity's past. And He loves me in present, and He shall love me forever in the future. I know that is exactly right. I'm too old to worry about what people care about me anymore and what people think about me for what I've got to say. But I'm telling you, God loved you and I from eternity's past before the foundation of the world. God declared before the foundation of the world that His Son should die for you and I. That we might be redeemed by His precious blood. What love that reaches out to a sinner that is condemned unclean, that ought to be in hell, amen, that's lost and without God, and that love reaches out to him and with cords of kindness pulls him to the Son of God that he might see that love manifest in the Son of God and be saved by the grace of our Lord. Amen and amen. What wonderful love. God's love spread out to everyone and yet is not diminished. The well cannot run dry. I thought a while ago I mentioned that song, Step Into the Water by the Cathedral Quartet. God's love is so vast that you don't want to step into the water. Take a belly flop. It's there. Have you ever thought about just basking in God's love? Well, we come to church and sit like a bunch of wooden Indians. We ought to be basking in the love of God. I've told you this story. I'll tell it again. Old brother Billy Kelly called up a tabernacle one Sunday morning. Doc started inviting him to preach. And he said he got up one time to sing that song. He heard him singing the song, basking in the sunlight of his love. Said he went home to church that Sunday morning. Said he walked out in the kitchen. Said his mama had something on the stove cooking it. Said he walked over there and it was some pork. And it was in gravy, brown gravy. And said that gravy was sitting there going, said little bubbles coming up and down. Billy said, he asked his mama, said, Mama, said, what are you doing with that food? She said, son, said, I'm basking that meat in that gravy. He said, oh my, you mean that's what I do? Is bask in the sunlight of God's love? He said, I can't imagine myself in God's love that deep. Said, there goes Billy up here. There goes Billy down here. There comes Billy up again. Basking in the sunlight of God's love. Now I'm telling you, that's what every one of them ought to be doing in here tonight. We come to church acting like God's dead. God isn't dead. God's still alive. Hey, He's not done with us. If He was, we'd be gone to glory. Somebody said, well, where is His promise of His coming? Hang on, honey. I don't know when He's coming, but I know He's coming. And I don't think it's going to be long. Amen. That crowd in Washington just about got me so mad I could bite a 10-penny nail into. And the crowd over in the Middle East and Russia and other. I'm telling you, this world, I'm glad it is not my home. And one of these days, the love of God, because God loves us, He's going to deliver us from this mess that we're living in. And it is a mess. You can count that down in your little black book. Write her down. They sit in the prayer rooms and now don't get on Trump. Somebody needs to get on him. Somebody needs to get on all of them. My telephone rang the other day and it had on there, and I'll pick it up and it'll say, so-and-so, and I'll just hang it up. It'll ring about 10 minutes later and that's somebody else wanting money. 10 minutes later, somebody else wanting money. It rang the other day and I picked it up and somebody said, yeah. Said, this is George and I'm raising money for so-and-so. I said, I'm telling you, I don't have time for that crowd anymore. I'm going to tell you what God's people better be doing. We better be thinking about the power of God's love that lifted you out of the miry clay. Amen. Out of sinking sand and set your feet upon a solid rock and establish your goings. And I hope to goodness it has put a song in our mouth, even praise unto our God. I'm afraid we've lost our song. We lost our song in the night a long time ago, and our song's just about gone, and our praise unto God, it's departed also. We're about dead at 4 o'clock in the morning, amen? Right. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. It is time that we dug down and took another look at God's love and realized the power of that love in redeeming us from the depths of sin, lifting us out of that sin and preparing us for heaven. Friend, I'm telling you, I've seen some things since my wife has been sick that I never dreamed I'd ever see. I thought I'd been through it all when I was pastoring. But I'm going to tell you something. For whatever reason, when God put His hand on my wife, that has been the ultimate trial. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. None of you in here have one earthly idea the tears that I've shed in the last 4 years and the lonely nights. The kids can come by during the day, and oh, we love to see them, and church and the preacher can come by, and that's great. But I'm telling you, when that sun goes down, and there's nobody there but me and Mama, and you know, I know, you may not know it, but she's got a problem. I could give you the name of it with her heart, and she knows it. She has got a problem with her heart that if it goes into a certain rhythm, shit is instant death for her. And there we sit, and guess who shows up every night? Old devil. This is going to be the night, buddy. When you wake up in the morning, she'll be gone. But you know somebody else shows up. I'll feel a nudge in the ribs, and somebody will say, he's a liar. And by the way, he's the father of it. And he is a liar. And God's given more grace. I have heard my wife herself say, honey, I'm ready to give it up. I don't believe I can fight it any longer. I'm just telling you. Some of you have no earthly idea, and I don't know why I'm saying this tonight, but I'm saying it. Some of you have no earthly idea what it has been like for the past 3.5 to 4 years in the Hall household. But I want to say that through it all, God's love has been real to my soul, and God's grace has been a comfort to my heart. Yes, and the Son of God and the Holy Ghost of God have been a blessing and a help, and they've led me all the way, and they've kept us safe. Amen.
Amen.
And it'll take us all the way
Amen.
To glory.
Amen.
Now we're all going sometime. We know that. You've heard me get up here and make statements. She knows I'm going for her. She makes statements. She's going for me. And now you know what I'm praying for. And the Lord take us both at the same time. Monkey said she was praying that God just kill us in a car wreck. That way we both go at the same time. But it's rough, friend. It is rough. It's the darkest hour. I'm living in the darkest hour of my life. But on one hand, I'm hurt. I'm hurting. But on the other hand, I'm rejoicing. I'm going to tell you why. In the darkest hour, it's always the darkest hour right before dawn.
Man.
Right before the sun comes up. Now remember that little song, the sun's coming up in the morning.
Yes.
Hallelujah to God. Some more sun that's got a song out, sunrise. One of these days he's going to rise with healing in his wings. When he comes for you and I. Oh yes, the power of God's love. It can comfort you in the darkest of your hours. It can bless you when you feel like your blessings have departed. There's always one more. God's so wonderful. He is so precious. Not only God's power and salvation, but God's love in our scrubbing. Somebody said, preacher, what do you mean scrubbing? Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood. Notice he loved us before he washed us. That means we were unclean when he washed us. I use that word scrubbing for alliteration's sake. But I remember my mama. I remember my precious mama. In that little old house there in southern Indiana, it'd rain, and mama would fill up that little old well. Mama would tell me, son, I want you to go out there and get in the wash water. Bring in the wash water, and some things would have a stain in it. We had that little old washing machine that had an agitator in it. Some of you older folks know what them old agitators are. She'd pull out that little plug on the side of the washing machine, that little agitator start jumping up and down. She'd rinse them clothes out, pull out something, she'd say, never got that stain out. She'd say, Gary, go outside and get me the scrub board. You know what a washing board is? Some of you young bucks don't have no earthly idea what a scrub board is. But I remember them. Mama, get on that little old scrub board and have it laying over in a tub of water. She'd take that stain and put some soap on it, and she'd go to rubbing that material on that old scrub board. And she'd wash it and look at it and rinse it out and wash it again, look at it and wash it again. In a minute, she'd say, son, see that? Say how clean that is. Said that stain is gone. I learned one day that the blood reaches deeper than the stain has ever gone.
Yes.
Amen. And it will wash you as white as the driven snow on a cold winter morning, friend. He washed us. He loved us. And then he washed us from our sins. That tells me that he loved us while we were vile and unclean and wretched and miserable and poor and blind.
Amen.
And loved us, and then he washed us. He scrubbed us. He cleaned us up. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Now, notice with me. I want to read this. I'll be done here in just a minute. I've tried to preach. I've meandered around. And But there's a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor queers, I mean abusers of them. Abusers of themselves with mankind. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you are washed. But you are sanctified. But you are justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And by the Spirit of God. Now, brother, when you get hold of that, the washing has got to come first in the blood of the Lamb. And following that washing, then you're sanctified. You're set apart as a holy thing. Washed, then sanctified, set apart as a holy thing. And then you're justified. Woo! Man, that's a legal term. I don't even dare to try to explain it. But I'm telling you, justified is a marvelous thought behind it. One fellow said it this way: you're just like you never sinned. And that's right. Justified means that we're guilty of the crimes we're charged with, but we're pardoned. We're set free. We did it. We're guilty. But we've been set free from that guilt. Amen. How? By the blood of the Lamb of God. That's how. Amen. By the love of God, He has justified you and I. Worthy of death. Worthy to be in hell. But yet we're sanctified. We're washed. And we're sanctified. And we're justified by the blood of the Lamb of God. Amen. Power of God's wonderful love. I'm not going to preach these. My time's gone. The power of God's love in our security. You can find that in Romans 5, verse 5. Where the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. By the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. That word shed refers to a point of origin. When we believe God's love. When we believe God's love took up residence within us. Our faith is that point of origin. God's love gushes from or springs forth. Let me read it again. The love of God is shed abroad. Shed abroad. That word shed abroad means to refer to a point of origin. That point of origin is our faith, God's love. God's love gushes from that, or springs forth from the Holy Ghost of God. Our faith and His fountain secures our future. Amen. How wonderful that is. Amen. We can get up in the morning, rejoice in what God's done. Yes. Because we're going to heaven and anything the devil can do about it. I know I got off on some rabbit tracks. I'd probably been better off to preach rabbit tracks. And I'm nervous tonight. That don't help none. Don't help my thinking a bit. But I don't apologize for it. I've done the best I could. I told my wife I was going to be good to you. And I've done my best to tell you that one more time this side of eternity that God loves you.
Amen.
God loves you.
Yes, sir.
And He loves you just like you are. Somebody said, well, how can He love us just like we are? He made you like you are. You're the crowning. You're the crown of His salvation. And He loves you because He made you just what you are. Let's stand, please. Heavenly Father, thank You for the night that You've given us to be together. Thank You, Lord, for what little I could say. I pray you'll take it and bless it to the hearts of people. Thank you, Lord, for being so good to us, for loving us and keeping us, blessing us and helping us along the way. Thank you for drawing near and comforting our hearts, Lord, in times of sorrow. I do pray that you would bless those in our midst that are sick. As I pray especially for my wife. She's mine, Lord. I ask you to help her. And Lord, save old sinners. There's so many people in the world today that's just so eat up with sin, lost and undone without you. And your mercy is available. I pray that you'll deliver sinners from the power of sin, from the power of Satan. Give divine and holy grace, in Jesus' name.